time. Secretary Connolly, evidently, you all have known this. That's the job you've done before for various periods. Having all of our economic problems, but where I got to know him, and I'd like to remind you, was in the field of reorganization. For 2 years, he worked in the Ash Council, and when we really had to come down to the tough decision as to whether we would go forward with this program, which recommends a streamlined cabinet, and a reorganization of many other fields. Secretary Connolly was sitting in the meter right in your chair, a member of the Ash Council meeting. He looked across the table, and he made about a 5-minute speech about why we ought to go forward. It was the most eloquent thing I ever heard. He convinced me, and now he's going to convince you. Mr. President, I want to sit down, Connor, if you'd like.
May I stand?
Oh, yes.
Need all the help I can get. I'll take a little butter over my feet. I get your message about the time that I have, 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
The President has already told you that in the spring of 1969, he created the Ash Council for the purpose of looking at many of the problems in government. May I just remind you that on that council, chaired by Roy Ash and President of Linden Industries, was Fred Capel, as many of you know, of AT&T, Dr. George Baker, the Dean of the Graduate School of Business at Harvard, Mr. Richard Paging, McCormick Christian Paging, one of the really top management consultants in the United States, Mr. Walter Thayer, distinguished lawyer, and more recently, the publisher of the New York Herald Tribune, and myself, only six of us, we built a small staff. We undertook the charge that the President had given us to really look at this government, to see what changes and suggestions we could make to him. We were to operate without restrictions on us in any way, political restrictions, without any mental limitation, without any guidelines or standards which he arbitrarily set. We were free to explore whatever we wished. In the inception, and I think it's important that you realize that we don't now claim that the ideas that are a part of the Ash Council were all original with us. They were not. We went back and studied every reorganization report that has been made in this country that we could find during this entire century. We studied them all, including the Hoover Commission report, the Price report, the Heinemann report, the Rockefeller report, and so on. There was a central theme that ran through each of these reports. If you keep in mind, of course, that these studies were made in various periods of time. The problems of the country were different. The way of life in this country was different in the 20s and 30s from what it was in the 40s, 50s, was totally different from what it is now in the 70s. Nevertheless, all of these reports had a basic central theme, and they were first, that contrary to the view of the Congress, every report found that the power of the President should be more easily administered. I know the Congress feels like the President frequently has too much power, but nevertheless, every one of these reports indicated that the President did not have the means to carry out his policy in accordance with the wishes of the Congress. Now, we looked at that. We first suggested that in any reorganization, we ought to start with the office of the President himself. That was done. Suggestions were made to the President. He adopted many of those suggestions. He changed some. He instituted the changes in the creation of the Office of Management and Budget and all that that concept implies. He created the Domestic Council and all that that means. And those changes are now working. He did it through the reorganization, as you know. Beyond that, we looked at the broader aspects of government with several things in mind. It is important that you understand that these are the motivations and the very basic assumptions that we made in looking at reorganization in the first place. And they were simply embodied in what the President said last night on the Howard K. Smith show. Number the government costs too much. Number two, it is basically ineffective and inefficient. And number three, people don't feel they can do anything about it, and probably more important, as a part of that, they don't like it and they distrust it. Howard K. Smith, as I recall, one of the questions last night said, Mr. President, the poll showed 7 out of 10 people distrust government. I think that's probably a low figure. There's no question about it. Now, we're not talking about the federal government. We're talking about all government. We're talking about local, state, as well as national government. Now, there's been no basis. There's another basic assumption that you have to make, and that is that there's been no essential reorganization of this government in the last decade, or the last generation, as a matter of fact, for the past 20 years. Yet, changes during this period of time have been enormous, just absolutely enormous. We've gone from 9 to 12 departments of government, for one thing. We've gone from 27 to 41 agencies during the same period of time. We've gone from a budget of less than $40 billion to over $200 billion. We've gone from 100, depending on how you split them out, but we've gone from 140 programs and sub-programs to over 1,400 programs during this period of time without any essential reorganization of the structure of government. Now, many of you were here during this generation when many of these programs were passed, and you can answer for yourselves how much time you devoted to the basic structure of government through which these programs are going to be administered. Given these basic assumptions and the feeling, the very strong feeling, that we were not going to concern ourselves with the concept of the programs themselves, but the administration and the execution of those programs, which in our judgment is what's killing the program. This is what forms the basis of discontent, the dissatisfaction on the part of the American people with government, simply that they don't understand it, they don't know how to come to grips with it, and they don't know where to go to find out. And I submit to you, there's not a man around this table who can explain it to them. Not a single one of you can. You can't tell them what programs there are, or who handles them, or where they should go to find out. And now that's basically what we were confronted with when we started talking about reorganization. So in summary, I obviously can't go into this whole thing this morning. Let me simply say to you that there was no basic thought of politics involved in the concepts that we came up with, that we recommended to the president. We were reaching for a basic structure of government through which programs could be administered so that people might understand them, might benefit from them. Now, we decided that in the final analysis, in order to achieve the objectives, we should basically have to reorient the administration of these programs on a functional basis. Now, you know better than I, you've lived with it, you don't have any different departments concerned with elements of education, and of health, and of manpower training. You don't have any programs that are that state and federal government administers. I don't need to draw you horror pictures of how bad this thing is. We did do one study out here, a little town on the border of two of our states nearby, and here's a mayor in a town of less than 5,000 people who was trying to understand what was happening to him and to his community and how he could best serve his people. So he made a survey, and when he finished, he found that he had, among other things, 12 different planning agencies that he had to work through. 12 of them. He had no staff to do it. No way he could utilize all of the planning that was available to him, much less the programs. He couldn't even keep up with the planning that was going on. Now, this is happening all over the United States. It happens to mayors. It happens to governors. I know. I built a staff of twice as large as any governor in my state had ever had before, and I couldn't begin to keep up with what was going on. I didn't know then, and I don't know now what programs are available. I was as much in the dark as members of Congress are, or even today. I say this very kindly. I don't say it critically. I just don't believe there's one of you here that knows. And I think we have to face up to the fact. When you go home, you don't know who to tell them you can go see. You can't tell them to go see your governor, your county judge, or any federal office. You can't, because no office can tell them who handles one problem and who handles another. And in one case, your regional headquarters for one agency will be in Dallas, Texas, and another agency in the same region will be in Denver, Colorado, Senator. And not many people can afford to travel all over this country to try to find an answer to a problem that they had. So we decided that the only thing that made the most sense was to try to break it down on a functional basis. So the net of it is that, that seven major departments of government became four departments of government. We think it makes sense. I won't attempt to go into all of the details of it this morning. Now, let me say at the outset that I would be the last person to tell you that, that when we tried to make these divisions, what would go into the Department of Community Development, Department of Natural Resources and so forth, that, that we weren't endowed with infinite wisdom, that we can't say that that every single element, every single sub-agency, every single program that we put in these four major categories was heavenly ordained to be at that particular location at this particular time. But we did at least make the best approach that we possibly could. We submitted it to the president. He made some very basic fundamental changes in it. We spent hours going over it with him to attempt to answer his questions, which were many. He has, with this modified program, sent it to the Congress to look at. Now, we know full well that it crosses a lot of party lines in terms of not political party lines, it crosses a lot of party lines in terms of special interest. We know that it's going to cause some concern among many of you who serve on the various committees. You're going to be concerned about whether or not this does disrupt your committee work. It does cause some concern among the various interests that are served by programs, for instance. I know one classic one I can give you, the Extension Service, is very, very disturbed. They're visiting all their county agents now, riding around the country, and they're disturbed about what's going to happen to the Extension Service, both in revenue sharing and reorganization. Manifest, I think, a concern that a great many people are going to feel. And anytime you reorganize anything, you know better than I that you're going to get some squeals from people. Because after so long time, no matter how bad a program is, there are a certain number of people in this country that want to protect the status quo. And this really gets us to the heart of the argument behind this reorganization. You can't be in a position of protecting the status quo. Now, I happen to believe that there's a very fundamental thing involved in this country, just as the president was talking about the fundamental duty and obligation that you have with respect to the SST and what it means not for today and tomorrow, but for decades ahead. You have a very fundamental responsibility here in trying to reorganize this government to where it becomes an acceptable instrument of government.